This morning I want to talk about something that's very dear to me, very precious, the thing that excites me the most in life. For years there's things that excited us, you know. Maybe it was a bonus, you know, unexpected $5,000 bonus. I never got that much, but I'm just saying. There's things that fame, there's different things that people get excited about. And this morning I just want to talk about what Jesus has done, what he made provision for, what he did for us. So that's the good news. And I just like to remember, a lot of us know Old Testament stories, how God would bring deliverance to his people when they called out to him. And often his armies were too small, where they were inferior, they were outnumbered, outgunned. And yet, there was quite a few times where he made it even smaller. He made the fearful go home. And why was he wanting to do this? It's so that there's no doubt the victory belongs to Jehovah Jireh, due to God Almighty. And so he's a jealous God. He's a holy God. And so this King of the creator of the universe, that is our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, what's he going to do in the New Testament, in the New Covenant? How's his deliverance going to be? Is it going to be something that we can intellectually understand? Or just what's he going to do, since he's a holy God, a righteous God, a jealous God? And so we see that faith is a big part of the New Covenant, the New Testament. The word faith is only used a couple times in the Old Testament. But anyway, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible says. And we know that in the beginning, what was lost when sin came was the relationship between God and man. This morning, we sang this song, Make Whole Again, you know, his blood. And so this is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And we just want to see what Jesus says, how to be born again. How to be born again. The real simple message that he tells to Nicodemus. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 3. It's the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Here we see, I'll just start beginning in verse 1, John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. He makes a difference here between the two. Now, we know that in our first birth, we were born in the flesh. And we know the nature of that is selfishness. It's about me. It's about the I. And Jesus is saying that we need to be born again. Now, let me keep going. He's making, I don't believe that Yeah, we were flesh, but now we are born of his spirit. We're now spirit. Marvel not, verse 7 says, that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. So, how are we born again? He still hasn't really said. He just says we need to be. Let's just keep reading. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our testimony. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay, right here's the answer that he gave. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So he's answering how to be born again. Now, we know in the wilderness there were people dying because they had sinned. God sent a serpent, and the serpent bit people, and people were dying just like flies. And he told Moses, Moses interceded, and he told Moses, put a serpent on a pole and lift it up. And whoever looks on that serpent, they quit dying. They didn't die. They lived. So now he's saying that the Son of Man, he himself, Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, he has to be lifted up. And now we can live. Okay, we can be born again. And I want to go into detail a little bit more. Okay, which takes me to John 12:23. Just keep going a little further. John 12:23. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Okay. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Now, this is glorious. We know farmers and gardeners in here that when you plant a seed, it will not produce fruit. It will not grow unless it first dies. Now, we are, in Jesus Christ's death, we are crucified with him now so we can be born again. He was the perfect Lamb. He never sinned. It says that he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came in the flesh. It makes it very clear. And then he defeated the devil. He never sinned. We weren't that strong. We weren't that, we sinned. We were sinners. So we needed a Savior. Well, before this, all through the Old Testament, there was always lambs and goats had to be killed. Blood had to be shed for the covering, for the forgiveness. And now, God comes out with an awesome plan. And he gives of himself, his only begotten Son. And so he says, now, but if I die, I bring forth much fruit. What's that fruit? That's you and me. Hallelujah. Because he was willing to take on our sin, it says, and the Father had to leave him at that moment because he took our sin, and then he was crucified innocently. He was innocent man, took our sin so that we could have fellowship and be in right standing with God Almighty. And now he's coming to live within us, through us, and we're his fruit. And now we love what he loves, because we're now born again. The old man was selfish. The new man is like Christ. We love what he loves, and we hate what he hates. And it's a miracle. It's not a works thing, but it's a miracle thing. Hallelujah. And as we walk in faith, we just become more and more like him, and we realize we know who we were before. We know It's not because of willpower, but it's because of the miracle of God, the fruit, the Spirit of Christ living within us. So that is the good news. Let me read these two verses again. When Jesus answered and said, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verse 25 says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it." You know, there was a time then when we maybe didn't surrender. We loved a certain sect. There was something in our life we didn't surrender, and we didn't reap the blessings of the full surrendered life. He says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life for this in this world shall keep it unto eternal life eternal." So my, I know for me, you know, for years I was kind of like straddling the fence. I hadn't made a full surrender, and I didn't have the best life of each, you know, and the abundant life, the life he came to give, life and life more abundantly, Jesus said. That is a full surrender, and then it's living water. Jesus told the woman at the well, the one that had five husbands, he said, "I'm gonna give you, I can give you living water till you never thirst again." So that's the miracle. That's Jesus Christ is that living water. And the Word bears witness. The Word and Christ are one. Okay, so we see this. We have to be... This says that... except a corn of wheat fall on the ground and die. So Jesus did this. Now let's go to Romans 6. It's just kind of keeps bringing more light onto the whole topic, subject of being born again. How that happens, how the miracle happens. Romans 6. This has been a very foundational, good chapter for me. It gets this, these truths that I'm just sharing have been very, very foundational in my life, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit has brought them to me, and it's brought me to victory. But all glory and honors to Jesus Christ. Chapter 6, Romans 6. I'm going to start in verse 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Okay, last Sunday we had a baptism. Okay, now, so we are identified in partakers of that death, the old man death, through Jesus Christ, through what he did 2,000 years ago. Oh, glory. Now, that takes faith, right? Because we were born 30, 40 years ago, however, 60 years ago, and Jesus died 2,000 years. So how could we be crucified with him? He says we were. So we believe it because God says it. We don't want to doubt him because that's where the miracle happens, is when we believe God. We don't, Jesus told Satan, "Men don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." So we want to believe the word of God because that's where the supernatural happens. Jesus told Peter to walk, to come on the sea, he was walking on the water. That's where the miracle happens, because he put his trust and faith in Jesus Christ and he would walk on water. But what happens when he takes his eyes off of Christ? Boom, he starts sinking. So, and let's read here. "Know ye not," verse 3, "that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death." Hallelujah. It's a question mark. "Therefore," verse 4, "we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Okay, now, it's not just in death that we're identified, because, you know, we plant corn, you get corn, huh? You're not going to get beans. Okay, now, we're identified in his death. That's not really good news maybe to you, but listen, look what he says. He says, "Now we are raised with him." even so, we should walk in newness of life. Let me read 5. For, look at that, he makes it very plain. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, this is faith. If you believe this, this is how you walk in the resurrection power. Verse 6 says, look at this. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. This is the flesh man, the selfish man, the one that, the I man. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Oh, that's such good news. Because for years I tried and tried and tried to stop sinning, tried to stop this, tried to stop that. But now all of a sudden, when I realize that I'm righteous because of my faith, even as Abraham was righteous because of his faith, now I look at this and say, I can believe this. And that's when the reality comes, is when we believe. We don't have to work for it, because he says that, let me just... Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Somewhere here it says, I'm not laying my eyes on that. Okay, let me keep reading. Hence, let me read this verse again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, is past tense. Can you see that? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Past tense, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Okay? Death hath no more dominion over him. He only did it once. For in that he died unto sin once. I believe. Okay? But in that he liveth unto God. Now verse 11 tells us, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I believe that my crucifixion with Christ was sufficient. I died once to sin. Now, you're going to be tested in this to see if you really believe this. Let's look at the children of Israel. God brought them out of bondage. They were, for 400 years, they were enslaved to Pharaoh in bondage. God brought them out, and then he hardened Pharaoh's heart yet and had him follow to where he could destroy him. He defeated him. And then he tested the children of Israel to see would they believe him. Time and time again, he brings them. Well, the first test is the Red Sea. They were in corner and they couldn't escape. And what do? They murmur against Moses and they complain. And it's evident that they're not believing God's in control of this situation. So my question to me, to you, are we murmuring? Are we believing God's in control? When God tests you, you read these scriptures, and the next week, it don't seem to work like that. So who's right? Is your experience correct, or is God's word correct? I've told this good news to a friend of mine, and it blessed him. He believed it, and it changed his life. Okay, and then he taught it to in another Bible school. He taught it in a little Bible study. And the one young man there was like, he saw it. He's like, that's good news. And he believed it. And he went away rejoicing. A week or two later, they had another Bible study. And he came back and said, it don't work that way. Now, you know, my question is, that's responding like the children of Israel. God is only as true as our experience? No, no, we're not like that. We believe God. So we keep believing because the children of Israel did not. It says they did not enter Canaan because of unbelief. That was the root sin of them not going into Canaan, was unbelief. And I believe that's the besetting sin of America, is unbelief. We explain the scriptures away to fit our lukewarmness, our false doctrine, and then we don't walk in grace because there's no faith. We have watered it down to a gospel that we can walk out in our own strength, in our own power, and it's a powerless gospel. And the Bible says that they that have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such withdraw yourself. That's dangerous. So we believe that Jesus Christ transformed. We also were glorified, it says, you know, because Jesus was glorified when he rose from the dead. And in Romans 9, it says we've also been glorified. So that's we're reaping. We have a better package than what we were taught, what I was taught. We have so much a better deal, if you might say that. It's just awesome. Let me read verse 8 again. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. In that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's through Jesus that we can live and have this abundant life. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lusts thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness, of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law. Now, here's that word law. We know that in Romans 8 it says that for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh was the problem that the law couldn't make anyone perfect. So that's why Jesus came in the flesh, and then he defeated the devil. So we can. That's why it's so important to identify in that and believe what he did. And then your worship and your appreciation for what he did just goes up so much. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He subdued it, he overcame it, he deprived it of its power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's skip down to verse 22 and read to the end. Being now made free from sin and become the servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. That's what we have in Christ. And he says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. Now verse 7, chapter 7, let's just keep reading here. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman, and we know that our old man is dead, so we're not under the law anymore, okay? For the woman which hath a husband, it's bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from that law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is freed from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. See, Jesus was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So now that we are buried with him in death and resurrection, we are, it says, we are now married to him. In which, being married, being born again, being having Christ in us, we don't need that law to tell us, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that. Because the Holy Spirit within us is a so much higher operating, we don't have those desires, and we don't need that law because we're not born of God. Oh, John, in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, it talks about those that are born of God. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Okay, it's through his death and resurrection. That ye should be married to another, that's Jesus, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now it's our turn. Now it's us that we can bring forth fruit unto God. We are the fruit of Jesus Christ. And now our heart is also to bring forth fruit. For verse 5, look at this. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Here's still that miracle working as we believe and see that through his death, our old man, our flesh man, is now dead, and we are born of the Spirit. We're now born again. Verse 6, Now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held. See, the law could only magnify, it just showed of sin. You know, now, and it says, but now being delivered from that law, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. Thank you, Jesus. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Because the law was only to magnify and show our sins so that we turn to Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, and are born of the Spirit. Then the law has no more, we have a higher, we don't need it anymore. It's done away. Verse 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, that which is good, that sin might, by the commandment, become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. Now we know, I believe what he's saying is that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, meaning in my flesh, or before I was made spiritual, before I was born again. We are just carnal. We're not made alive. So Christ is not in us, so that makes us carnal. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. He's talking about in his flesh. Well, we're going to see that. Let's keep reading verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 17. Verse 18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Okay, here's where a lot of people get confused. Paul is just saying that in his old man, if he doesn't walk in faith, you're of course going to be walking in the flesh. Because it is a faith thing. If you don't walk in faith, you're naturally going to walk in the flesh. So Paul's saying, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He doesn't have the power. None of us has the power in our natural. We have to be spirit-born and spirit-led, and that takes faith every day. I mean, we just walk in that. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. That's our life before the Spirit. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul says, 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? In verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now there is a little bit of the being born again. Even though Nicodemus was a Pharisee, he was a studier of the law. He knew the Bible, you might say. It was a new term or phrase. But I want to read a prophecy or something that was said in Jeremiah 31 that gives a picture of what God was going to do in the new covenant. Jeremiah 31, verse 33. But this, 31, 33, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. It won't have to be in stone. It won't have to be beaten over it's inward parts, and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now is living within us, and he teaches and guides us into all truth. Neighbor, every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. See, they had to go through the priest and not forget what else. They had it wasn't personal. Each one couldn't come directly to God. But now the curtain was torn. When Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn. So now we can go directly in. Hallelujah. Saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know in the old covenant there was a remembrance. The sacrifices, it says, the remembrance is over and over and over, because he couldn't make perfect. But what Jesus did was so much, there's no comparison. Thank you, Jesus. I have two scriptures here that God has given me to see that we have something now that they didn't have before Christ. In Luke chapter 22, it's talking concerning Peter. Luke 22. Peter, on the night of Jesus' betrayal, Jesus had spent time with the disciples for 3 years and had given them power over demons, over, they were healing people. But we see, if we read through the Gospels, we see that they were still very much, the natural was still there. The old was still there. And here Jesus says, "But I've prayed for thee." Now let me read verse 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So he says here, Peter, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. He doesn't say when thou hast repented, because I believe until Jesus was crucified, the real product of being born again was not able. Yes, they were saved, I believe, through their faith, but we have so much more after. Another verse that kind of brings that into the same light is Luke 7. Luke 7:28. Luke 7:28 says, "For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." So I believe here he's saying to be in the kingdom of God, we know we have to be born into that. We can't work our way, or we can't. That's a new birth. Is to inherit the kingdom of God is to be born again. That's how you inherit the kingdom of God, because Christ is in you. So John the Baptist was beheaded before Jesus was crucified. So I see that also. Just, you know, we have something so much greater, so much better. Because he's saying, born of women, John the Baptist is the greatest, but the least in the kingdom of God. And we can be born in the kingdom of God just by confessing our sins and accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's that simple, and that's the good news of the gospel, what Jesus made available, what he did for us. And that never gets old. That never gets, it shouldn't anyway. You know, if I don't walk in faith, then the grace, the supernatural part of the Christian life is missing. That's the way it works. Remember, he says, is it in Galatians, to the Galatians, or different groups of people that started out in the Spirit, but then they kind of slid back. And he says, Christ, it's all in vain, man. Do you begin in the Spirit and now are made perfect by the flesh? See, no. You don't want to do that, because that's where we find grace. In let me just read this verse in Romans 5. I love this verse because there's a push to do away with faith in our age. In Romans 5, verse 2, let me read verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith." Now, you have access into Jesus Christ, he's saying, by faith. "Into this grace wherein we stand." Hallelujah. So the grace is accessed by faith. So when the children of Israel murmur, or when I murmur, when I complain, I am not believing that God has me in the palm of his hand. My test, my whatever it is I. And that's why we murmur, is because I have to fix it. It's me. Or maybe my wish, my running is outside of God's will, so I'm going to get frustrated and upset because I don't believe that my flat tire. I'm going to be late. Everything you can think of, you can have peace when you just know, you know what? I'm the Lord's. He bought me. I'm his. So now I can just relax. He has me in the palm of his hand. That's where the abundant life, the rest that we have is in Jesus Christ. Freedom from fear, freedom from all kinds of torment. The past is taken care of, and we're secure in the present and the future praise the Lord with Jesus Christ. I mean, it's just all good. All amen. Hallelujah. Let me just see if I can. Well, it talks a lot, like in Galatians. It wasn't in my notes, but I'm just going to Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We don't want to frustrate the grace. And if we work for something, then it's showing that we're not believing. It's all by grace. And so he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This would I learn, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And we believe it's by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? There's a temptation to go through that, to go to that, because you're testing, what God is testing you is, are you believing the Word, or are you going by your experience? Because you will receive after he has tested. He says that in Peter. After he has tested you, he's going to strengthen, make you perfect and settle you. How's that verse go? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I tell the, when I go to jail, I tell people that we don't read too much that God tested Abraham after he put his son on the altar. Isn't that the ultimate? You know, I think we need to know, and God will know, that we're fully surrendered and we will serve him whether we live in a wigwam or whether we have a mansion. But, okay. Thank you, Jesus. I want to just read a quote that I read this week that really blessed me. It's from Oswald Chambers. A beautiful saint may be a hindrance if he does not present Jesus Christ, but only what Christ has done for him. Is what Christ did a power working in you and my life? Or are we just blessed by what he did? Is there benefit? Are we reaping? Is there fruit in our life because of what he did? We can be so, you know, about what he did, but the true gospel of Christ has fruit. It has. So that was it spoke to me, because I just had a conversation with a friend, with another person, and I was just bothered by the lack of the lack of change. It was kind of reminded me of I heard a sermon a year ago that the man said, if you don't commit in your heart to do right, you're going to do wrong. And I'm like, no. Peter says, for we are not born of incorruptible seed, but we're born of... No, we're not born of corruptible seed, but we're born of incorruptible seed, of the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So if I say that unless I commit today to do right, I'm going to do wrong, I'm really acknowledging I have an old operating system yet, but I just got to try to overcome it. I just got to do better. I just got to... You know, but is that what the Bible is saying when it says old things passed away? Behold, all things become new. And it says we are a new creature in Christ. Hallelujah. So this is what blesses me, I guess, these scriptures. And I just wanted to share that. May it be a blessing to you. And I just want to, yeah, I think it makes our appreciation for Christ go up. And may we continue to worship him and love him and give him our life, because he's worthy. We are to give our bodies a living sacrifice, Romans says, which is our reasonable service. And Amen. It's good to serve him. I guess I'm supposed to end. Do you have anything? Is there dismiss? Okay. Is there Bible study this Wednesday? Bible study this Wednesday. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, I thank you for the finished work of the cross. Oh, yes. Lord, we know that you said it is finished. And we just rest in that. And we thank you for the price you paid for to buy us back, to deliver us from sin and from death. Now we have life and life more abundantly. So we just thank you for that this morning. Just thank you for the verses, the scriptures that we can have. We don't have to hide it in our basements or hide it under our beds, but we can still serve you freely in America, Lord. We thank you for that freedom. We just pray for the countries where they are being killed because they serve you, because they've been born of the Spirit. Lord, we pray for those people that you would give them great grace and give them great love, Lord, which your Spirit gives us love. May you do that, Lord Jesus, to just make them strong in you, Lord. Help them to not love their life, but to love their captors, Lord, to love the people that persecute them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for plenty, Lord. Lord, even though it might cause us to forget you, Lord, we do thank you for, we know that every good gift comes from you. So we bless you and thank you for that, for the blessings we have, Lord. Help us not take it for granted. Just go with us, Lord, through this, the remainder of this day. Lord, may the Rocky Road ice cream and the steaks, the good stuff, Lord, that you give us, that we have. Lord, may we remember that what you gave us is so much better, is more eternal, is greater, and satisfies. Thank you, Jesus.